Welcome to the Middle Church Podcast, a multicultural, multi-ethnic, intergenerational movement of spirit and justice, powered by revolutionary love with room for everyone. No matter where you are, how you look, or who you love, we pray this podcast will help you on your journey. Here's this week's worship celebration.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, Middle Church. How y'all be? Okay, we got some goods, but they're muted. That's all right. You don't have to be muted. It's the first Sunday of Black History Month. We in the midst of Lent, y'all. I'm excited. I'm living a best life because I get to preach with Amanda, which I don't think I've done a duet with you before. So I'm excited. Let's do it. We have some words for you, but first things first, a reminder that the Baldwin study is happening. We'll have it again this evening, 8 p.m. Eastern time, and also if you can't come, that's okay. That one is also happening on Circle. There's like 165 people on Circle, so are you on there? You should like get on there. The course is there. We record the sessions. There are questions, et cetera, et cetera. You can engage as much or as little as you want. Natalie's also on there. A bunch of people, actually. You're all doing this thing. So we love seeing you on there. Children are invited to join Elise in the social hall next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. to make protest art in preparation for Jesus Christ Superstar. We're doing Jesus Christ Superstar for Palm Sunday this year, y'all. Ah! Love to see it. And there will be coffee for the grown-ups. And also next Sunday is the next session for, say it again, Season of Bright Sadness, our other Lenten journey. So that's the second session of that. There are only three, y'all. There are only three. So if you miss them, like, or just don't miss them, okay? You should go to that. There's only three. And then young adults, 20s and 30s, are invited to a mixer for our Young Adult Leadership Lab on Sunday, March 17th. Details to come, but see Elise if you are interested. And also, it is the first Sunday in March. That means that it's birthdays, right? So let's do a little happy birthday. If you are a March baby, will you please stand? Are there any March children? Yes, March babies! All right. Happy birthday. And now if you will take a deep centering breath with me. Let us worship God. Will you stand for our opening hymn?
singing it like a lullaby, like bring up the energy a little bit on it, and really just kind of get it in our bodies, and really sing it like it was meant to be sung. Here we go. Well, I went down to the White House.
Well, I went.
So just to say, today's prayer is done in dance, and the composer is Dion McLean Freeney. So if you would just hold your hearts and minds and meditate on the words as they come to you and experience the prayer here in your body.
Thank you.
Okay, online people, we're gonna have to kill the stream for just a second to reboot so YouTube can come up. But please say the Lord's Prayer while that's happening. The rest of us will say it here, and prayerfully we'll all be back at the same bat time, same bat channel in like 30 seconds. Will you please stand and pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray in whatever language you know, whatever version you know, by saying, ever-loving and holy God,
hallowed be your name. Your reign come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the reign, the power, and the glory.
Will you please just one more round of applause for those? That was beautiful. That was beautiful. And we actually, you know, Middle is a very lucky congregation in that the composer is literally behind the piano. Thanks be to God. Now let us pass the peace. There will be a microphone coming so that you can pass the peace with our people who are prayerfully coming right back online right now and haven't missed a beat. I see some nodding. That makes me so happy. Thanks be to God. Amen. So if you'll pass the peace with those around you and come to the microphone when it is available, it's about 30 seconds. And please come say hi to our online people who are experiencing the technical difficulties. Y'all be in prayer with us about being in a space in December where we don't have to rebuild our tech from scratch every Sunday. I cannot wait till we are back in the building. The peace of God be with you.
For this week. We are now at the midpoint of both Lenten journeys. Why don't you bring someone along? There are about 165 Middle Peeps on Circle. Are you one of them? If not, go check it out. and we have a special guest preacher next Sunday. Make sure you're here and schedule time to stay for the talk back with this powerhouse theologian, author, and social psychologist. That's all for now. Head to our website for more details on everything I mentioned. And now let's get back into worship. If you haven't already, now's a great time to go grab what you need for communion.
Keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sun? Again, just who I am, because I need to know. have every failure, God, and you'll have every victory.
Gorgeous. That was so pretty.
Thank you so much, Tina.
Okay, y'all, we're going to try something a little different.
All right.
I said, okay, yes. All right. Amen. Appreciate you.
We good?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yes, we are doing a duet sermon today. So we have two scriptures for you. Are we good? Can you hear me? The first one is found in the Song of Solomon, chapters 1, verses 1 through 5, 5, 2, and 8, 6. Hear now a word from God as it comes to us from the scriptures. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is perfume poured out. Therefore, the maidens love you. Draw me after you. Let us make haste. I am black and beautiful. O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. As a lily among brambles, so is my love among maidens. I was sleeping, but my heart was awake, the sound of my beloved knocking. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is strong as death. Passion fierce as the grave, its flashes are flashes of fire, a raging flame.
That's hot. Our other scripture passage is from the first and second chapters of the extra-canonical text, The Thunder Perfect Mind, which you will not find in your Bible, but I think if you scan that, it will take you to a book where you will find the most recent translation of that text, which is what this is from. Those chapters in The Thunder Perfect Mind read as such. I am the first and the last. I am she who is honored and she who is mocked. I am the whore and the holy woman. I am the wife and the virgin. I am he, the mother and the daughter. I am the limbs of my mother. I am a sterile woman and she has many children. I am the comfort of my labor pains. I am the speaking of my name. I am both awareness and obliviousness. I am humiliation and pride. I am without shame. I am ashamed. I am security and I am fear. I am war and I am peace. Pay attention to me.
I am she who is disgraced and she who is important. Pay attention to me, to my impoverishment, and to my extravagance. In my weakness, do not strip me bare. Do not be afraid of my power. Why do you despise my fear and curse my pride? I am she who exists in all fears and in trembling boldness. The word of God, the words of God from the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Friends, there are so many of these sayings from this female deity that seem to contradict each other. Like the Jesus in the Gospel of John, this deity whom we'll call her Thunder for today, holds both honor and shame, for instance. But some of you have heard me preach on this and know that how we have noticed the actual contradictions are actually putting in intentionally these things together, pulling them together for what it means and also what the world may think it means to be a woman, and pulling together what we are and what is put upon us. By putting these in conversation with each other, we are forced to accept them completely, to accept the wide variety of things that make us whole. Now, as I think about all of these seemingly dichotomous themes that we see in Thunder, I find myself wrestling with the idea of the misbehaving woman versus the virtuous woman. Now, as a child, as a girl where women...
First child, me.
A girl where women are raised to be caretakers or caregivers, that type A personality, that get everything rightness, a recovering perfectionist. That version of me used to really resonate with the virtuous woman. Do you all know the virtuous woman? The woman who the community upholds, a Proverbs 31 woman. In my community, there were even t-shirts, the Proverbs 31 woman. I always felt like I fell short. I never got the t-shirt. Meanwhile, we have the woman in the Song of Songs, aka the Song of Solomon.
Oh, yes, the Song of Solomon. That awkward book in the Bible we hope to skip and we certainly don't preach. Even I, when Natalie was like, "Hey, Amanda, how about we do Song of Solomon with this text?" I was like, "No." I was like, "No, that's okay." But honestly, living into what the patriarchy and whiteness define as to what's considered valuable and academic, right? It's easy to pass this up and skip this over. This 8-chapter book in the Old Testament, which, by the way, includes the longest time in the entire Bible we hear a woman's voice. Jewish and Christian traditions explain the inclusion of this book by relegating it to a metaphor for the love between God and Israel, or Christ and the church. How many of you heard that if you grew up hearing this, right? Yes, for this book to be canonized, that means included in what makes the cut for the Bible, it has to be anything other than a love poem about a beautiful black woman who, full of desire and prophetic imagination for the kind of love she demands, is actually love personified. But that's exactly what it is. Our protagonist is a Shulamite woman brought to King Solomon's court to be part of his harem, who is unabashedly in love with a young shepherd from her homeland. As we move through the entire 8 chapters, we begin to see that this is a book written for women who have the audacity to be something different. For those who dare to let love entice them from safe spaces, whether it be those familiar rhythms of the patriarchy or other oppressing confines that society tries hard to make us think are the only ways of being, into more questions, possibilities, and newfound freedoms where reckless love calls us. The Shulamite woman crafts her own way of being. She shows up with all of who she is in all her intersectional identities. Did you hear some of them? sexual and wise, sleeping and keenly awake, black and beautiful, rage as hot as fire, and love as strong as death, sex positive and curious, a dividing wall and a city of peace. Mm. I want to go back to black and beautiful for just a moment. The Septuagint, which is the oldest Greek translation of the Holy Bible, has this written for that phrase. I'm not going to try to say it. Natalie might. But here it is in Greek. Online folks, we'll make sure you can see this. If you can't see it right here. But this little conjunction, chi, is translated and every time in the Bible, except for right here. The King James Version uses it and puts it as what? But. As but. That's the problem, right? The ancient author, however, clearly meant for it to be and, because there are many, many translations before King James where this was translated as and. Now, the King James Version was written in 1611, just a few years before the first enslaved Africans would land in Virginia, which we just have to put in that category of things that make you go, Or as Natalie rightly teaches, let us not forget that race is always at play. Now, what difference does it make if we read this as black and beautiful versus black but beautiful? And what other adjectives might we swap in and out that profoundly define how we view ourselves with the conjunction and rather than but? Make no mistake, God is a God of ands.
Mm-hmm. Our title, Misbehaving Women, I'm sure you noticed, is playing off of a famous quote from Laurel Thatcher Ulrich, which is, well-behaved women rarely make history. It is important to note that this historian responsible for these words was making a point about how there are women who have done virtuous work which history has overlooked in favor of rebels. Is there room for the virtuous woman, and what even is that? Well, simply put, from my viewpoint, it's a creation from society that oppresses and objectifies and patronizes women. As I was preparing for this sermon, I read again Proverbs 31, and it had been a while because this text is attached to so much that weighed me down in my youth, something to aspire to that was rooted in patriarchy and sexism and oppression. So imagine my surprise when I read the version in the NRSV UE. The NRSV continues to retranslate our ancient texts in light of new discoveries that we make about the ancient languages in which they were written. So the UE is just the updated edition, the most recent one having, I think, 20,000 new updates to our translations. So where the red letter King James Version used to read, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" scholars have learned enough about the ancient language in which it was written to translate it anew. A woman of strength, who can find? Thanks be to God for the scholars who continue to do the work of reaching back into these ancient times to dig us out of the misogyny and patriarchy that we've stacked on top of these texts. I thought it might be a bit much to read three scriptures this morning, but I encourage you to read it again. Perhaps a Proverbs 31 woman is a misbehaving woman as well. But again, that's for another sermon. For today, we hold a woman of strength with a woman who expresses her sexuality and who proudly claims her dark skin, and with a deity who reminds us, forces us even, to see more depth in women, because we contain multitudes. Is there space for all of it? Maybe the woman in Song of Songs and the Proverbs 31 woman are all misbehaving in their own way. This is what the Thunder Perfect Mind is trying to teach us. We do indeed contain multitudes.
Yes, multitudes indeed. The protagonist in our Song of Songs doesn't legislate how we should be, but rather invites us into an experience that is deeply personal, inspiring, and awakening. She doesn't prescribe one way of being, but gives voice to the experience of one woman. Mm-hmm. And in so doing, gives each of us permission to voice our own often buried and repressed experiences. Generations have tried so hard to make this anything but an expression of a woman's right to foray into pleasure, sex positivity, and enlightenment as a way to control our bodies, minds, and futures. And truly remarkable is that the Shulamite woman personifies love free from the confines of reproduction. Mm-hmm. So clearly, we can't talk about this book right now on, what is it, March 3rd, 2024, without acknowledging what the Alabama Supreme Court just did, calling frozen embryos children. Now, why does the Christian right, we might be a little confused, who is all about motherhood, right? That's our number one responsibility. Mm-hmm. So why would they be attacking IVF? Because they're actually not all about motherhood, friends. Mm-hmm. What they really want is a social order where women are second-class citizens. Mm-hmm. And forced childbirth is one way to make women second class. Legislating who can have children and how is another. The Christian right will ban anything that gives women autonomy over our lives. Amanda Marquette wrote about this in Salon this week. This is her quote. Conservatives view IVF as a cheat code for feminists who want to have children on their own terms. Mm-hmm. They prefer a system where the only path to motherhood is being trapped with a Trump-voting husband who controls your checking account. Whoop. And friends, the Christian right is also threatened by who, in addition to anyone who, fill in the blank, well, wants or needs to, utilizes IVF and other reproductive technologies. Single people, older people, lesbians, non-binary people. None of this fits with the ancient reading of the Proverbs 31 woman, nor who white straight men need women to be to continue feeling good about themselves. The women in our text today show us that God desires a different way for us all. God calls us to bring all of who we are to all the places, even and especially when it's too much.
Because the point is not whether you are remembered. The goal is not trying to be remembered. The point and the goal is to be so convicted in your spirit that disruptive behavior to the status quo is the manifestation of that conviction. It may end up being a little splash in your pond, but the ripples are unimaginable.
Society will always try to tell us we're not good enough, that we should diminish some parts of ourselves, our too loud parts, our too brown or black or indigenous parts, our too Jewish parts, our too curious parts, our too blonde or southern parts, our too vulnerable parts. But we wonder what happens when we show up in our multitudes. Natalie and I noticed that the gospel lectionary for today is the story of Jesus flipping the tables over in the temple, aka getting into some good trouble. It strikes us that when we show up as our full selves in our full God-given identities, that in and of itself is good trouble to a world hell-bent on keeping women, especially black women, small.
These rule breakers in these texts defy legalism in favor of love. They choose to follow God rather than the law. They do what is righteous and moral over what is deemed right or good by our legal system. Can I give you an example from our not-so-distant history? This is not one from the first or second century, but from 1968, when Eartha Kitt, who was famous at that time for her portrayal of Catwoman and her sultry holiday hit, Santa Baby, caused such a ruckus at Lady Bird Johnson's tea party that she was blackballed for a decade. Her sin? Speaking out against the Vietnam War. When she was later interviewed by the Washington Post during her comeback to Broadway in Timbuktu, she said that there was not a thing in her life that she would do differently. To her, they were all opportunities to learn. She wasn't afraid of any part of life. She not only swam the length of life, but the depth as well. She contained multitudes. Today, How many have we witnessed lose their jobs for speaking out against what is happening with Israel and Palestine? For calling for a ceasefire? We may not remember their names, but we know this is good trouble. And can you imagine a librarian with an afro who encourages kids to see themselves as belonging to the library, who encourages kids to see the fun in the public library? Would you imagine the stir that caused? Some of them might be called rule breakers, some of them might be called virtuous, but at the end of the day, they are all causing good trouble. Their own way, they are misbehaving. On this first Sunday of Women's History Month, on this Lenten Sunday, consider where in your life you could use a little righteous misbehaving. Where could your life be infused with some good trouble? Where are you the Song of Songs type, or the Proverbs 31 type, or the Temple Tantrum type? Take a page from the Thunder Perfect Mind and hold the fullness of yourself, even the parts others might think don't go together, or they might think don't make sense, or just flat out don't like. That's okay. It doesn't have to make sense to anybody but you. And everybody ain't gonna like everything. Your moral compass doesn't need to align with the world. Align it with God. Amen.
Amen.
Misbehaving women changed the weather and swaddled babies, disobeyed illegal laws and pushed the nations to justice and kept a little bail money on the side just in case, lit Sabbath candles and took food to the sick, poured wine in wineskins and baked quick bread on the way to liberation. All the while, they told stories.
Stories about how they were invited by God to rest on the Sabbath day, to break bread and share cup as a joyful celebration. How the bread and the cup are ordinary, fruit of the earth and fruit of the vine, made holy because God makes all things holy and invites us to do the same.
How Jesus taught them to pray to our Ab womb, Father with womb, the Mother, Father, God, who will never forsake us, who guides our feet and will feed us until we want no more.
How this table belongs to God, and we are all welcome here. For the broken bread of life, for the poured out cup of blessing.
Eat this in remembrance.
And drink in remembrance.
Remember the love.
Let us pray. Holy and loving God, for a table full of stories, for generations that have taught us how to love because of who we are, because of who you are. For a table that literally remembers, puts back together that in our world which is broken, that within us that is broken. We give you thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Sophia, and I've been attending Middle for about 2.5 years now. My journey with Middle Church began while I was living in Salt Lake City in 2021. As a recent college graduate, I left an early dance career in Minneapolis as the arts collapsed at the start of the pandemic. I was fortunate to find a job as a volunteer coordinator at a nonprofit organization. We focused on reentry for formerly incarcerated people, mostly through employment and finding supportive community. We often referred to this position as creating a middle space, a meeting ground for people who otherwise would not encounter one another in the community. So how serendipitous to then discover Middle Church, a community that echoed our values around belonging, inclusion, and compassion. On my way to and from work, I would listen to podcasts from Reverend Jackie Lewis as she interviewed artists, activists, and faith leaders, and they nourished me during a difficult time. As the dance scene began to open up again, I moved to New York City and first attended Middle Church at the temporary home of Calvary Episcopal. On my first Sunday there, the congregation observed the anniversary of the fire by walking to the ruins of the sanctuary on 2nd Avenue. While I was acutely aware that I had not been present to the trauma of losing the building in 2020, I still felt a connection to people as we walked together. I could sense that this was a community who knew how to hold grief and gratitude, uncertainty and hope together in their bones. As some of you might remember that day, our walk that morning was punctuated with a rainbow that appeared in the sky. And it was not a rainy day. The image of this community of lovers gathering around wreckage with a rainbow overhead is one that I'll never forget. It encapsulates Middle for me, a community that is not afraid to confront painful realities, but also committed to a joy and beauty that alleviate despair. In the past 2.5 years, Middle has sustained my soul through what can often be the turbulence of living as a young dancer in the city. I developed friendships by joining the young adult group, singing with the gospel choir, and volunteering at Judson with New York's newest neighbors. Pray to Rise on Wednesday mornings and Sunday worship services have become grounding rituals for me. Middle Church keeps me engaged in the issues that matter most in our current world, and they always center humanity and love. When I wake up to news about atrocities and injustices, the first place I turn now is to our spiritual leaders here at Middle. They offer words of solace and call us to action and provide the resources I need to feel engaged. On a more personal note, one Sunday I found myself seated next to a student from Union Seminary. We spoke after the service, and he and I planned to get coffee in the East Village later that week. This man in the pews has now become a loving and wonderful partner. Completely changed my life. He's right there. He's offered so much healing to my heart. Middle has been a fertile ground of love in my life in so many ways. So whether you live across the street, like I do now, or many miles away, like I did when I first started to engage with Middle, you can take part in a movement for love, justice, and healing. You can visit middlechurch.org/join to become a member, or offer financial gifts at middlechurch.org/donate. Something that I love about Middle is that we honor the particularities of each person's identity. So while your story with Middle will be different from mine, I truly hope it can contain some of the same seeds of healing, joy, and growth that I've experienced while here. Thank you, Middle.
Let us pray. Holy God, for the many ways that we give, for solos, maybe for the first time today, for ushering, for dancing, for preparing the communion, for handing out cards, for giving money and time, we give you thanks. And now we trust God and we ask that you use all of these gifts that we have given to bring about more peace, more justice, and more ways of being that reflect who you want us to be. In your many names we pray. Amen.
We're digging into the hymn archive here, so everybody may not know this one. We're going to do it together.
Take my life and let it be consecrated faithfully. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in.
Beloved, I'm not going to be before you long because it's already 12:45. I pray that you find this week places where you can cause a little mischief, misbehave a little, get in some good and righteous trouble. Go do be. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening, friends. To learn more about Middle Church, visit middlechurch.org. You can help grow this movement of love and justice by rating us on Apple or Spotify and by sharing this episode with a friend or two. Send us an email at info@middlechurch.org if you have any questions or comments. We hope you'll come back next week. Bye for now.